Gospel of John, chapter 11. We'll look at the death of Lazarus, but more than that, we're going to look at living in obedience. In Gospel of John, chapter 11, starting with the first verse. John 11, verse 1. Now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, "Lord, the one you love is sick." When he heard this, Jesus said, "This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Yet when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. Then he said to his disciples, "Let us go back to Judea." "But Rabbi," they said, "a short while ago the Jews there tried to stone you, and yet you are going back there?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? Man who walks by day will not stumble, for he sees by this world's light. It is when he walks by night that he stumbles, for he has no light." After he had said this, he went on to tell them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to wake him up." The disciples replied, "Lord, if he sleeps, he will get better." Jesus had been speaking of his death, but his disciples thought he meant natural sleep. So then he told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead, and for your sake I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him." Then Thomas, called Didymus, said to the rest of the disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." Let's pray. Father, as we look at your word, we ask that you would send your Holy Spirit to come and illuminate these scriptures for us, Lord. Give us understanding. For of our own wisdom, for the wisdom of the world and of man, we cannot have true understanding of these scriptures. That is only through the intervention of your Holy Spirit, when you show us the real truth here, when you remove the scales from our eyes, and when you bring understanding to our minds, that we can truly comprehend and apply these scriptures to our lives. So, Lord, we ask now that you would do so. Father, I pray for myself that as I preach this word, that your anointing and power would be upon me, that I might preach your truth in such a manner that each person here receives spiritual food and is strengthened and encouraged by it. Now, Lord, we ask that you would indeed reveal these scriptures to us. Show us what you would have us to learn this day. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, there we go. I said, if you have some of those titles that start at passages within your Bible, like I have in mine, mine says "The Death of Lazarus," that talks kind of a descriptor for that passage. But as I read it, what I saw was living obedience. Anybody up? I can't even talk today. I'm going to quit right now on my head, I think. Ed, you ready? I got the notes right here. No, okay. Let's try it again. Living obedience. Anybody else here see examples of living obedience in this word? Look at it. We see Lazarus, who was sick, and immediately, what's the response of his sisters? To send word to the Lord, to Jesus, "We need help. He's sick. We know you can bring help." So their first obedience was doing that. But yet we see in the descriptor, as the author of John describes who these people are to us so that we know who he's talking about, he talks about Mary and her obedience to the leading of the Holy Spirit. that this is the same Mary who poured out perfume, very expensive perfume, on the feet of Jesus and wiped those same feet with her hair. That's the Mary we're talking about. Now, why did she do so? Because the Holy Spirit told her to do so, and she did it. Why did they send to Jesus? Because they learned that the Lord is the source of help and trouble. So they were obedient. Because the Lord said, seek Him when we're in trouble. So they did. And then we see the example of Jesus and His obedience. Now we're told that Jesus loved all three of these people. Each one is specifically mentioned. And they're all... He loved them. Yet when He found out that they were in trouble, that there was something going on, what did He do? Nothing. Nothing. That he stayed there. He said, oh, this sickness will not end in death. Not, no, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it. And tells us that Jesus loved Mary, or loved Martha and her sister, and Lazarus. That when He heard Lazarus was sick, He stayed there two more days. He went about His business. He was teaching. He was caring for people. He might have been doing, He was probably doing other healings. But yet this people who He had this special place in His heart, these were special friends of His. He loved them. He didn't rush off to help them. Why? Because it was for God's glory. Because if He had rushed off right away, before Lazarus died, it wouldn't have the same impact to raise him from the dead as it is to raise somebody from their deathbed. To bring healing to somebody who's almost dead isn't quite the same thing as bringing back somebody who died. Okay? It is not quite the same thing. And being dead for one day or one short period of time is nothing like being dead and in the grave for 3 days. What we find is that when Jesus finally got there, He found that Lazarus had been in the grave for a couple of days already. If He had rushed off, He wouldn't have beaten him to the grave, but He would have been right by. Now, why is that important? To bring glory to God. Because if somebody's been dead and in the grave for 3 days, most people don't say, you know, I'm not quite sure they were dead. Now, I'm going to pick on Marge today, seeing how she moved up front row. But not too long ago, a year ago, Marge died. She's got records to prove it. The doctor said you died. They had a little monitor on her to check her heart, and her heart stopped beating. Now I got a little problem where I stopped breathing at night, so now they gave me a CPAP thing so I can breathe and don't stop breathing. But it's not a big deal, except that over a long period of time, it will hurt me. If I do that for years and years, it will cause problems down the road. I stopped breathing. Well, Marge's heart stopped beating. I don't know, but it's not quite the same thing as stopping breathing for a second as it is for your heart to stop. That means the blood isn't moving. That's not good. Now, for whatever reason, the Lord restarted her heart. Everything kicked back in. He decided she wasn't ready yet. She wasn't big enough fish. Threw her back and said, Marge, you got to get better. You got to go back, and I'm going to glorify my name through this. But there are people who don't believe that she died. Well, why? She wasn't dead and buried for 3 days. We hear all sorts of stories about people who, they came back to that. Well, were they really dead? Really dead. Well, Lazarus really died dead, buried. And the only way that was going to happen was if Jesus was obedient to the Father's will. Not to His personal preference, His personal desire. He loved His friends. He didn't want them to suffer. You know what? Mary and Martha were suffering because their brother died. They sat at their brother's side as he died. They cared for him. Then they cleaned up his body, prepared it for burial, put it in a tomb. This is a painful experience. Yet Jesus did not intervene earlier, did not take that pain away from them. Even though He didn't want them to feel that pain, it wasn't His desire that they should feel that pain, but yet that needed to be gone through before the greater glory of God could be revealed in raising Lazarus from the dead 3 days gone. Now, Jesus' preference wasn't what was happening here. It was God's plan, God's will. Jesus was obedient. He didn't rush off in His timing. He rushed off in God's timing. God said, wait 2 days. He waited. Then He went. When the Lord gave Him permission to go, He went. But not before. We even see at the very end of this passage that we read today, Thomas, man that we refer to later as Doubting Thomas, because he said, well, you know, I'm not going to believe it's Jesus really died unless I stick my hands in the holes in His arms and in His side. You know, until I do that, I'm not going to be sure that that's really Him. Because I was there when they took Him off the cross. I saw all that. And I, you know, until I see that, I'm not going to believe it. Well, that Thomas, he was there with Jesus and the other disciples. And when Jesus made His pronouncement that I'm going to go back to that place, to the area where they tried to kill me. Remember, Bethany is not that far away from Jerusalem. It is well within reach of the powers that be there. It was just a few miles down the road. It's very similar to going from downtown Brooklyn Center to downtown Minneapolis. Not much farther. Not a great distance. But that's where He went. As He went there, the disciples said, you know, they were just trying to kill Him. Well, He's not just going to kill Him. They're going to kill us too. But you know what? We need to be obedient and go with Him. Thomas said, let us go that we may die with Him. Now there's somebody full of cheer, isn't it? He looked at the situation, saw what God was saying. We need to go here and do this. He said, okay, I'm going to go. I'm ready to die. Didn't happen. But that's what he thought was going to happen according to man's wisdom, man's interpretation of the situation, the events. He looked at this and thought, for sure, this was it. It wasn't. All these people were living in obedience. Jesus gave us the best example of how to live in obedience. We need to follow that. First and foremost, by remembering to seek God when we have troubles, just as Mary and Martha did. Secondly, by following the Lord's direction, because that's when we're walking in the light. Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours of daylight? A man who walks by day will not stumble, for he sees by this world's light. Okay, when we're walking around in the daylight, we don't stumble because we're seeing we're walking in the light of day. World. When we walk according to the Lord's direction, when He says, go here, do that, we will not stumble. We are walking in the light of His Word. When we walk with Jesus, He is the light. He said, I am the light of the world. What is the light? That gospel message, His love. But He allows us to see clearly. And we walk with God. How would we best walk with Jesus? When we walk in obedience to Him. When He says, go here and do that, and we go there. And quite often, just like Thomas, we have one expectation of what's going to happen, but that's not the way it works out. Sometimes we don't have no idea why we're going or where. Example we had today in Sunday school class. We have Philip, who has a messenger, an angel from the Lord, comes to him and says, go over to this road in the desert, and I'll get back to you later. So he's told, go out to this desert road. And he goes out there. And as he's out in the desert, he sees an Ethiopian eunuch, a high official in the Candace's court, Queen Candace of Ethiopia, in her court. He sees this man going by reading from the word of Isaiah, and according to the time, you know, you read aloud. They didn't read silently. So he's reading, so he knows what he's reading. Ah! The Holy Spirit was there and gave him a nudge and said, go talk to him. And he did. But he was obedient to the Lord. And this Ethiopian eunuch who had guards all around him, because he was a high official, he would have been guarded to keep people from the road off of him, away from him. Just like you or I, just because the president's driving by in a motorcade, we just can't walk up to the car and knock on the window and say, hey, can I talk to you, Mr. Bush? It doesn't work that way. Important people have people to keep people like you and I away from them. Unless God opens up the way, and when we walk in obedience to that word, He does, and we don't stumble. And Philip was able to go right up and talk to him. And he was invited up onto the chariot to share the word of God. Because he was walking in the light of obedience. Now, when are we to obey? How are we to obey? Is it just when we receive a messenger from God? Well, you know what? Philip received a messenger from God who said, go there. But from that point on, we have no notice that there was an angel that came to him and said, okay, you know, you see that guy? Sick him. That's not what happened. But yet Thomas knew. Thomas, I'm looking at my notes. But yet Philip knew that's the man he was to talk to. That's why he was there. Sometimes we're told to go somewhere and do something, and we never know. Sometimes it's very simple. It's a small thing. Don't think God is not interested in the small things. Listen to the voice of God, even in the little things, and be obedient. Friday, my parents closed on a new house. Donna has her own opinions about some things, and one of those things that she has opinions on is wallpaper. She didn't like the wallpaper in the kitchen at this house, and she had told my mother that she would be more than happy to remove it for her. Because she said, well, what are you going to do with the wallpaper? I don't know. Nothing right now. She said, well, no, I'll take it off for you. But anyhow, Don and I went over there Friday afternoon to check out the new house after they'd closed and started on removing the wallpaper and then went back home to get some other things taken care of. And then we were going to go back later in the evening. Don and I left about 3:30. here it is 4:45, and I was heading over here to church, and yet I just felt the Holy Spirit just tell me. I felt like I needed to go up to the house. I didn't know why. So I did. And I got there, and the garage door was wide open, the house was unlocked, and they'd already moved a few things in there, and they had forgotten to lock the door and close the door on their way out. My folks, when they left, a little while after Don and I. So the house had been open, I don't know how long. But if I hadn't gone back then, I don't know what would have happened. Maybe nothing. Maybe nobody ever would have gone in there and taken anything. But maybe because I went back there, nobody robbed that house. I don't know. Nobody vandalized it. I don't know. I do know I got there and the house was open. And I said, well, this isn't the way it's supposed to be. So I walked in, took a look around. Everything was there, was supposed to be there. Called them up, said, you know, you forgot to lock it up and you left. Oh, no. Oh, well. That's a little thing. Yet, how do I know whether it's a little thing or a big thing? Philip was told, go stand out in the road. He ended up leading this Ethiopian eunuch to the Lord, and right now there's a church in Ethiopia that claims direct descent through that conversion, that there had always been an Ethiopian church based that is directly through the conversion of that eunuch, that he went back to Ethiopia and started a church. How do we know? Sometimes we think it's a little thing, and sometimes we think it's a big thing. Sometimes what we think is a huge thing that God is asking us to do really is very small. And sometimes the small things that He's asking us to do that we think we can say no to. Okay, that's the point here. Is sometimes we think, sometimes I think, I don't know about you, maybe the rest of you always listen to God every time He says do something. But sometimes He tells me to do something and I don't do it. Now, I don't know what blessing was missed because of that. I don't know who I was supposed to minister to that I didn't, because I didn't. I'll never know. Leastwise, not on this earth. But yet, if the Lord had spoken to me and said, I must do this great thing, I must make this trip to Ethiopia to speak to the Ethiopian church, I would probably feel that that was important and do all that was necessary to sacrifice to make that trip and to get there. But I might be going there just to make sure the garage door is closed. I don't know. You and I are not given directions that we can obey some of the time or most of the time. We're told to obey all of the time. And that the more that we obey, the more we walk with Jesus and the more we walk in His light and the more He can use us and bless us. I'm not telling you to obey me. I'm not even telling you to obey the authorities of the church. Though there is a certain amount of obedience to those authorities which we are supposed to do. But in this case, what I'm telling you is we each need to be obeying God directly, as He speaks individually to each of us. Through His Word, as we read His Word on a daily basis, if you're not reading His Word every day, the likelihood is you're not hearing from God every day. And how can He tell you what to do today if you're not listening to Him? Sometimes He'll speak to you in a still small voice. Sometimes He'll speak to you through a song that comes over the radio that just reminds you of something which leads your thoughts in another direction, which leads you to think, you know, I need to do this or do that. Sometimes He speak to you as He'll have somebody come up to you and say something to you. There are as many ways as you could come up with for God to speak to you. Do not try to limit Him. He will speak to you. He will find how to tell you something. But the question is, are you going to obey as Mary obeyed, as Thomas obeyed, as Jesus obeyed? Ultimately, for God's glory. See, we're encouraged to walk in the light. And when we do that, God will be glorified. So live obedience. Because sometimes, when we live in obedience, someone who we thought was dead gets raised to life. Let's pray. Lord, we do thank You that You do care about each and every one of us. And that You do give each of us guidance and direction each and every day. Lord, that You just don't care about the 1 or 2 hours a day or week that we spend at church. But Lord, You care about each and every aspect of our lives. And You want us to be obedient to You in every aspect of that life. And that all that we do, we should do it as worship unto You. Lord, help us to live that way. But Lord, first off, help us to hear Your voice and to know Your will so that we can obey Your word. So that we might recognize Your prompting to go somewhere and do something. Lord, You will prompt each of us according to the way You have gifted us. The way You have wired. No two people are going to be the exact same. And we know that. So Lord, help us each one to hear Your will for our lives individually. And also, Lord, we pray that same thing for this church corporately. Might we seek and follow Your will and Your way in all that we do. For the honor and glory of Your name's sake. Amen.